Chelsea FC 1, Real Madrid 1 in the first leg of the Champions League. Chelsea get that all-important away goal, and guess who scores it? That's right, America. Christian Pulisic, N'Golo Kanté, a hero, an icon in a blue shirt, Antonio Rudiger, guts. Was there more there for the taking? We will analyze all that and keep an eye on the Premier League as Chelsea got some breathing room in the top four battle, but have a London derby against their West London rivals in Fulham. And we'll discuss Real Madrid with an expert from BN Sports, Caitlin Kyle. All that and more on this week's episode of Chelsea Mic'd Up. Vamos! Man, I got style, man, I got swag. I'll be in a blue shirt chasing a bag, long ball from the back. Chelsea get a result against Real Madrid, 1-1 the final in the first leg of the UEFA Champions League. So much surrounding this game. So many storylines, Chris Whittingham. I pronounce your name the way that it should be. He's 100% Colombian, but he's got the last name of a Welsh dock worker.
Yep.
Chris Whittingham, my co-host, my neutral observer friend. Obviously, a lot's happened in a week. You have the Super League hanging over this. You have Thibaut Courtois and Hazard returning to the lineup. Comments made by Florentino Perez. Even media creating a narrative around world-class players that Real Madrid have had. And then arguably, N'Golo Kanté is the only one that they've had. Well, Chelsea's world-class player, arguable, I'll use that in air quotes because certainly for me, is N'Golo Kanté. I'm going to stop saying it's a throwback because I think that's disrespectful to the player, because when he's fit, he shows that he can do this. It really suck out. His speed, his pace, his fitness, his stamina suck out. But so did Christian Pulisic, so did Timo Werner's. Chelsea looked like a quick team in this match. Now, part of that is these are some very quick players. But another part of that is Real Madrid's a little longer in the tooth. And tactically, they weren't put in the best positions. And Thomas Tuchel's men, they attacked that weakness early on, got a goal from it, probably should have got more, Chris.
And for me, it's not just about the quickness of the player, so that certainly is, that does have a role to play. It's also the quickness of the ball. The ball was zipping around, and if you're pressed, you're pressed into playing passes quicker, one and two touch, so that the presses can't get close to you. And Chelsea, I thought, in the first half hour, that's as well as I've ever seen them move the ball. Like, almost independent of manager. Maurizio Sarri's Chelsea completed a lot of passes, but never with this kind of zip and intent and forward driving. And so it was just an extremely high-quality performance. The quality from every player on the pitch was surging throughout. I thought Andreas Christensen had some fantastic touches on the ball. Antonio Rudiger gets an assist. And Christian Pulisic, the way that he takes his goal is of the very highest quality, because he makes that run in behind. You would, in theory, think that he'd take it on his left, try and go opposite Thibaut Courtois. The minute he cuts it back, you're thinking, all right, chance gone. But has the patience to engage Courtois, bring him out of the goal, loop him around for the keeper. And it was just a performance in the first half hour that was surging with quality. And that, I would say, is such a cool thing to experience as a fan, because you know, when you're Chelsea, who arrive in this Champions League semifinal against Real Madrid, being fourth in the Premier League in a top four race, you're not really that close to winning the league title this season, and yet you can still outplay Real Madrid for huge parts of that performance in a Champions League semifinal. That actually, I think, is a step above where you were in 2012 when you went on and won the whole thing, which is you're kind of defending your way towards winning it. This is, you're outplaying a team towards getting to a really good place to advance to the final.
Yeah, are we going to say that Real Madrid didn't offer much? At some point, you got to give credit to this midfield, which I thought was exceptional today. You are bang on in highlighting Antonio Rudiger, who's been phenomenal under Thomas Tuchel, who one of our greatest weapons in that attack to play out the back, to defeat that press, to counter it, is to have Antonio Rudiger over these last few games display that speed, pick it up and dribble and lead an attack and lead to some pretty good chances. Antonio Rudiger would have an argument for man of the match. N'Golo Kanté, for me, is my man of the match. Christian Pulisic, that goal was iconic in American soccer lore. No two ways about it, Chris. I know you're a neutral, but you're also an American. That was damn cool.
Jumped off the couch for that one. That was like a full shouting get in at my television.
I long for the day when that ceases being so rare for me and so shocking and so cool, but enjoy the moment. America has arrived on the international scene with a big club in Chelsea in a big fixture, a dream fixture against Real Madrid in the UEFA Champions League. So amazing. But I think the emotional part of Christian's goal, Chris, isn't just the fact that he had an unbelievable finish. A finish, by the way, that he cut inside. He cut inside, please. God, can we start cutting inside more? Please. I know a lot of people got frustrated with Timo. To me, being a keeper myself, I'm going to give credit to Thibaut Courtois.
He's got to finish that. Has to finish that.
That was a good save. That was a good save, Olivier Giroud. That was quick reflexes. Olivier Giroud was giving Thibaut Courtois credit in a nice, cool moment at halftime in that tunnel where Courtois was reenacting his reflexes for Olivier Giroud. I'm with you. But so many times, that ball was so squarely placed, robbed of a pull assist. Can you imagine?
Yes.
So it was a great ball. And I don't know how many times I've just been screaming, don't get fancy, just put it on frame. Well, he did that. And Thibaut Courtois was there in a save that, when we look at the balance of this fixture, that might be what puts Real Madrid into the final. It might be what keeps Chelsea out of the final. Because, look, you have two teams, for me, at this level, because there are certainly less clinical teams out there. But when you look at the top tier of clubs in world football right now, Real Madrid is so clinical with their opportunities. With Karim Benzema, who is so scary to go up against. I have immense respect for the player, Karim Benzema. They are so clinical with their chances that you can't afford them any daylight. Chelsea, when they just throw around, Chelsea should be up 3-0. I'm like, you guys obviously haven't been watching Chelsea week in and week out, because you have to apply the context of Chelsea are just generally a wasteful team. I would love to get to the point where we're a little bit more efficient.
Chelsea had all kinds of opportunities in that opening half hour, both in terms of, I think the other thing as well, you mentioned kind of once you get into those vital attacking moments, but the delivery as well to get into those kinds of positions, I thought at times was lacking today, particularly from wide areas. So I think in terms of, if you're trying to nitpick a performance, and again, can you imagine start of the season, we're talking about an away at Real Madrid semifinal. We're talking about ahead of kickoff, away at Real Madrid. You get an away goal and you give up less than three goals. You're in a great position heading into the second leg.
How am I not hanging from my chandelier right now as I'm recording? Because they got the away goal, 1-1.
But and I think the American scored the away goal.
But it does have to be put through the prism of,
yes,
Chelsea, on the balance of the game, created more chances. And if we're looking at that, if we're looking at it that way, Chris, if they have two goals in this first leg, that might be all she wrote. That might be all she wrote for Chelsea. So it's a bummer, because you had an opportunity to kill this in the first game, given how stout your defense is. And now you're going into the second leg at Stamford Bridge, nervous as all get out.
Yeah. And, you know, once they get an away goal, then all of a sudden it's a wide open game. So if they get an away goal, but
it's basically golden goal for me, Chris. It's golden goal rules, considering how this defense is clicking and how wasteful Chelsea have been this season in scoring goals. I think first goal wins it in that game against Real Madrid. A goal wins it.
It's entirely possible. And look, to me, the only performance that mirrored what we saw today from Chelsea was the performance against Crystal Palace, in which they hit them for four. It, just in terms of the zip, the quality. But what we see from Chelsea is kind of a version of that. It's like 80% of that. I have not seen Chelsea look this sharp, save for that Crystal Palace performance. You're right to have wanted more from the result in this one, because you were watching the game thinking, oh my God, Chelsea are a good deal better than Real Madrid on this day. And that kind of realization leads you to believe, all right, well, then we have to go and win this tie, and if we could do it now, that'd be great. But that unfortunately didn't happen today for a lot of the reasons that we talked about. Again, in terms of one of the things that we've talked about over the course of the last few weeks with Chelsea is their opponents look bad when they play them, and Real Madrid did today as well. And we have to credit Chelsea for that, because it's getting to the point now where it's not just that every team is having an off day. It's that teams can't create stuff against Chelsea. Last 10 minutes, maybe you're sweating it out a little bit. I wasn't really. But for the first 80 minutes, even that Benzema chance kind of comes out of nothing. Like, it's not like, well, oh, wow, it was an incredible bit of play. It's just, you know, two headers and an overhead kick, and all of a sudden you're level 1-1. Chelsea did not let much in today. So even though they didn't put this tie to bed, you can still feel confident, because I think heading into a second leg, they're not going to give away that much.
Is it too much to ask for the controversial moments over these last two games to be analyzed via satellite imagery the way that they are in the Premier League? Because in the FA Cup, and even in this first goal, I still haven't seen a replay. It looked possible if we're doing like the hair's breadth offside rule. I just don't understand. But I kind of do, because for all the talk that was surrounding this game, and if I tell you 17 cards are going to be dished out over the course of a 10-minute stretch in a second half, you're thinking Real Madrid supporters are going to be up in arms over the officials, given all the narrative surrounding this game. I thought it was well officiated, consistent officiating. I just would have liked to have seen a replay on that goal, because I'm not 100% convinced. And you know why? Because I haven't seen a replay. Well, I think the Premier League can actually learn a lesson from these two games, in the FA Cup and in the Champions League, because I found it refreshing to actually celebrate a goal and remind myself, VAR is actually a thing.
I thought you were going to say, I found it refreshing that these incidents weren't hyper-analyzed, but I think you want them to be hyper-analyzed when they go against you, which is
when
the point
against
of VAR.
Me, yeah, I'll wear that. I don't understand what the disconnect, though, is for the Premier League, because they're going to VAR on things that you wouldn't think of
in other
competitions.
I think it's the fan and media scrutiny. Like, having been in the UK during, when we've gone there and try to watch some of the TV there, like, a lot of the first thing that they talk about is, oh, well, let's run through this decision. Did they get it right? Like, that's the first thing that they talk about. You listen to a lot of the call-in shows, and so many fans are banging on about referees. And so, yeah, I think the referees have kind of said, you know what? We are going to hyper-analyze so we can leave ourselves above scrutiny. And what it's done is kind of, killed some of the joy of it. But look, when decisions go against you, you want them to be hyper-analyzed. And when they don't, when they go forward, it's like, all right, cool, play on. I get to celebrate a goal. And that's just kind of how we are as fans.
Pulisic was well onside when he made that run. And yeah. I just can't fully celebrate that moment. I jumped out of my couch. I picked up my daughter. I swung her through the air. She did a full tuck. It was amazing. She has a future in gymnastics. But then I brought myself, oh, please don't rip this feel good away from me. Don't do that. Because
any well-timed run kind of feels like that now, where it's like, where if you're in behind, it's like, oh, well, he guys surely was a sleeve patch offside.
Yeah. But thankfully, that goal will remain. And that goal is as massive in the 14th minute if it happened in the 87th. I know that frames everything differently, but if the goal order is different, if maybe there's one fewer chance that Chelsea has in this game, you're happy with 1-1. So maybe we should probably not necessarily hang from chandeliers, because there's still a job to do for Chelsea, but this is a massive result. Guys, we got a second leg in the UEFA Champions League semifinal against Real Madrid, and everything is riding on it. If the result holds right now, Chelsea find their way in a Champions League final, it's beyond cool. One more storyline that I'd like to discuss that we haven't really mentioned just yet. I got emotional watching Eden Hazard trot onto that field. Hmm. I wasn't fully prepared for how that would hit me. And I was happy for him, because I understand the struggles in fitness and just getting on the field. I know I'm probably angering Real Madrid fans, because he's been, look, it'd be kind calling it polarizing. He's been a disappointment to Real Madrid fans. But that's an achievement for me, battling through all the injuries that he had. And then I was made even more sad, not just by his appearance in a white shirt. I was made sad in that what I enjoyed so much about Eden Hazard was that he was this ball-dominant, talismanic figure that is just like, please, just give the ball to Eden. He'll figure it out. He's all we got. He's one of the best in the world. For me, it was Ronaldo, Messi. I know Zlatan was in that conversation, and Hazard. There was that top tier, and then there were always these guys climbing that mountain trying to challenge. And I thought the context needed to be applied, that he was just so important. He was all Chelsea had, that he should be in that conversation. For him to go from that to a person that I'm trying to scan the field I have to look for a number seven. Maybe that's part of it. But he's just a part of a team.
Yeah.
And he's not the same Eden Hazard. And that's not just a fitness thing. It's how he's being used. And I was made sad by that too, because watching him work, I was just imagining if the shoe was on the other foot and he were in a blue shirt in this game, we know exactly how that game ends. Just run to the corner flag and take the ball from him. I dare you. He's a pit bull.
Yeah. And he is, I think he made exactly the right point. And he, and in some ways, when we talk about, you know, the comparisons between him and Christian Pulisic, I think, you know, this is kind of an apple, which is expressing yourself as Eden Hazard, expressing yourself as Christian Pulisic versus being one of 11. And I think in Real Madrid, because he struggled to really make an impact, if he scored goals early, if he stayed fit, I imagine by now he'd be comfortable as being, you know, Eden Hazard expressing himself for the club that he idolized playing for, or wanted to be at, and there were so many rumors involving him while he was at Chelsea because he wanted to be at this club. And now I imagine the further and further he goes along, the further and further away he feels like being able to be Eden Hazard. And when you talk about kind of a sadness setting in, the sadness would be that you watch him and you don't really see an impact, right? You're not really fearing him touching the ball or going, oh, wow, there's that Eden Hazard moment after he came on. Now, he's probably someone that needs the 30 minutes of having played and starting and getting growing into a game in order to do that, but
yeah.
He didn't come on and do much of
He's often like Nick Chubb. He'll just beat you into submission for 3.5 quarters, and then the fourth quarter is Chubb time, and it's Eden Hazard time, because we've seen that plenty of times in a Chelsea shirt. And Christian, to his credit, has always taken the comparisons well. He's always said the right things. They're obviously very different players. If I could read it, you can only answer that question so much without naturally getting tired of it. Christian's done well in that, but I really hope, and I know he had to answer those questions headed into this game, but it would be cool if those two got to share a moment, because you're kind of hoping that Timo would be the guy that could replicate that skill. Honestly, it's Christian. When you look at what his skill set is, in the latter moments of that game, if Chelsea need a goal, I want to work it through Christian, because he can make something happen in the box. And so many times Chelsea were like, make it happen in the box for us, and he would come through time and time again. It'd be really cool if they got to share a moment, just as an aside, just as a competitor, maybe tell you what it's like at Stamford Bridge and to wear that responsibility, to fight through injuries, to take 17 fouls in a game, because they got physical with Christian again. A lot of that was, man, Real Madrid, I'm a fan of a good yellow. Let me just come out and say that. I thought Christian took a really good yellow in this game. Credit to you. I'm making up for your mistake. Real Madrid take really smart yellows. And part of that is because you got players that are longer in the tooth and a little slower, but they are tactical with how they use them. And if that's what Zinedine Zidane is preaching on the training ground, that is a well-coached team, and they are absolutely fulfilling their obligation as professionals.
And, you know, that defensive ability is, you know, part of the reason why they don't get, like, they're not punished for their mistakes. As you mentioned, they get beat, you know, often, and the speed jumps off the screen from Chelsea, just in terms of...
Chris, Chelsea aren't, they aren't a particularly pacey side. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we've talked about this often. Man, Chelsea looked slow in this match. It was shocking to see how fast Chelsea looked in this one.
And, I mean, look, they're forward players. I mean, Werner, Mount, and Pulisic are as dynamic as attacking, but it's what's going on behind them. And I think... maybe it's N'Golo Kanté being everywhere that makes us think that Chelsea were fat. Because, as you mentioned, you know, Jorginho, Thiago Silva, Andreas Christensen, even Azpilicueta, not really known for their pace.
Even Mason.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, Mason's kind of got, like, acceleration without, like, massive top-end speed. He's always playing at 100, so he's always, like, being as fast as he can be. And yet, man, there are times where they're running circles around Madrid, and they had no choice. And I honestly, like, I lost a count. Like, I thought Marcelo's yellow was a second yellow, because I thought he'd already been booked because he was involved in a contest earlier in the match. Like, they really had no choice but to foul, and... in some way, we talked about this in that match where Christian played, where he took all those fouls against Porto. It's kind of like a credit to you, right? Like, you're beating your opponent all the time. They have no choice but to foul you. And that was the case not just for Pulisic, but for every Chelsea player on the day, it felt like.
Tactically, very interested in seeing how Real Madrid approached this weekend's game, because they're in a hotly contested league championship chase right now. But they have players that are older. You have a second leg that is there for the taking, and you had a mismatch in pace that maybe not a lot of people were making enough about entering this game, because varying levels of fitness there and exploitable matchups for Christian Pulisic and Timo Werner. What did you think of the substitutions made in this game? Let me just get one thing out of the way. stop making something out of Azpilicueta starting over Reece James and Callum Hudson-Odoi. That is not a thing. I think with one ball into the box, Azpilicueta showed you the touch is necessary, and he's a captain, and he's got the veteran savvy, and he probably should have drawn that second yellow against Marcelo, the one that you're thinking about, as Marcelo dragged that back foot. Azpilicueta, I thought, has been a really tremendous player for this team. No complaints. Those are very young players. They'll have great moments in a Chelsea shirt, but he should have been starting. What'd you think of that move and some of the others that Thomas Tuchel made as this game went along?
Yeah, and it's funny when you're kind of when you start watching the match. All right, Azpilicueta is a wing back, and as you said, like, he handled that job incredibly well. And to me, the interesting thing is, like, so that would be labeled as a very defensive move from Thomas Tuchel, right? Oh, he's being defensive, doesn't want to get beat, concerned about Vinicius, and yet. No, it doesn't matter who's on the pitch or how many defenders, because in theory, right, they're playing five defenders and two holding midfielders, right? Like, that's conservative. And yet the style of play isn't, right? And so I think Thomas Tuchel is trying to achieve both aims, and that's kind of a remarkable bit of management to have achieved that, all right, these are defensive players, but they're still out there kind of expressing themselves and playing a good passing style that's of high quality. Generally need better attacking and more creative players to do that, but they're not. But in terms of the changes, like the fact that they were all made in one go, they were all kind of a little bit attack-minded. Ziyech and Havertz came on along with Reece James. I just think when they were kind of I think they needed one more change in that back five or even in the midfield, although without Mateo Kovacic, there isn't that player to make that change in the middle. But I thought as Chelsea were kind of beginning to dig in a little bit more, I thought they might have needed one more number in there. But ultimately, the changes didn't make a huge impact. Hakim Ziyech took a nice free kick that forced Courtois into a save. Just in general, when Chelsea are in that mode, it's very hard for a solo attacking three that's so isolated from the rest of the team to really feel like they're part of the build-up. But ultimately, the changes kept Chelsea fresh on the pitch. And really, at that point, I think it 1-1 after 65 minutes. They were just trying to get to a 1-1 full-time result. There wasn't really a whole lot of endeavor from there.
We're going to speak to Kaelin Kyle from beIN Sports, who will give us a La Liga approach to this first leg. Tell us what he thought about Real Madrid's performance here. Is if you're listening to this podcast, you probably spend 90% of your football watching time exclusive to Premier League competition, so it's actually really good to learn about one of the top clubs in all of world football in Real Madrid. That's coming up next.
Introducing Perfect Play, the most advanced football training app available, developed with and used by the Chelsea FC Academy, built with innovative player tracking technology, featuring masterclasses from some of football's biggest stars, offering world-class, personalized football coaching. So train with the best and become the player you want to be. Start training for free. Download on the App Store now.
Well, after that breathy open, let's slow things down a little bit and welcome our guest making her Chelsea Mic'd Up debut, Kaelin Kyle from beIN Sports and Inter Miami's television coverage. Kaelin, thank you so much for joining us here on Chelsea Mic'd Up. So much to discuss with you.
No, it's honestly an honor. I've been following you guys for ages. Absolutely love the material you put out. Excuse my backdrop here. I promise I don't live in a cave. We're just in the middle of moving. But usually it's a little bit spiced up, so apologies.
All I really care about is the acoustical treatments, and you're coming in crystal clear. So let's talk about a game that was cagey. I think we all kind of expected that second half to be what 90 minutes of this semifinal. And quite honestly, that first leg was probably going to be indicative of what we got here in the second leg, at least in that second half. But Chelsea, on the front foot from the very beginning, have opportunity after opportunity, early going opportunities for Chelsea. I think we should code it in that context. Yeah. And then Christian Pulisic in minute 14, after you're kind of biting your lip if you're a Chelsea supporter, saying, man, this might be one that gets away. A brilliant killer instinct, gets Thibaut Courtois on skates out in space, and a poised finish. It's exciting, but also kind of sad. All-time American leader in Champions League goals now, Christian Pulisic. Your takeaway from just the American's performance in this semifinal so far?
Yeah, I think he's been absolutely fantastic since going to Chelsea. Obviously, it's kind of been a roller coaster there for him. He's had to really grow. And then obviously Thomas Tuchel coming in. I mean, a manager that's no short of that winning mentality and coaching big players, but putting players in the right positions to be successful. And I think we're starting to see that with Pulisic. Obviously, I'm Canadian, and when I see an American do well, it just grows the game in North America, obviously with the MLS, players overseas, because I think you go maybe 10, 15 years back, and no disrespect to any Americans or Canadians that have gone over there, but they weren't really that successful. Yes, they were playing for the big team, but they weren't the Jonathan Davey at Lille, the Weston McKinneys. I mean, the names go on and on. So to have someone like Christian Pulisic playing in a Champions League semifinal, scoring the first goal and scoring in a credible goal, just says a lot about the development here in North America, which, I mean, again, being Canadian, I'm delighted with.
Let's talk about Real Madrid and obviously dealing with some injuries, working some players back into fitness. You follow La Liga closely, working with beIN Sports. Chelsea's speed really stuck out in a way that it hadn't all season. That back line was playing pretty high for Real Madrid and letting some of the Chelsea attackers operate in way too much space. Adjustments were made in that second half, but a curious strategy from Zinedine Zidane.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of interesting tactics from Zinedine Zidane, but it always tends to work out because you have the big name players, all Benzema. But I will say, you could see them at that on in the first half, they looked fatigued. And you could see in league, obviously coming off the draw versus Real Betis on the weekend, starting to slip points in La Liga. So their title race may potentially be up. Yes, they're still sitting in second place just ahead of Barcelona on the head-to-head. But again, you can see the fatigue of players because of key injuries, especially in that back line. I mean, Vasquez, Ramos, Mendy, and then obviously Valverde that we've seen coming in and playing either on the wing or in that fullback position. So it's been interesting. Obviously, Marcelo getting the start today hasn't played 90 minutes or hasn't started a match in how long. So again, you're kind of seeing the injuries take place. You're seeing, and I hate saying it, but match congestion starting to really come into effect and just the rotation of players. And one thing Zinedine Zidane has done extremely well is man manages players. And that's why, obviously, they're in the title race for La Liga. They're only La Liga team left in the Champions League. But when you're missing big key players like this, it starts to take a toll, especially someone like Sergio Ramos. I'm shocked they haven't given him a contract yet. And I've been fighting people at beIN Sports about this because of what he adds on and off the pitch. I mean, you can see him in the stands, like, pretending to head the ball into the back of the net because football is his passion. Real Madrid's his passion. So I think a player like that in a match like this, when you are fatiguing, when you have main players out of this, you see that midfield three of just how much energy they've exerted in La Liga, in Champions League. They're exhausted. So again, we saw that tactical change in the second half from Zinedine Zidane, and that's where he's been brilliant, both man-managing players, but then tactically making the adjustments, and then Benzema coming up huge. That's my only issue with Real Madrid moving forward. If Benzema's not scoring, who else is scoring for Real Madrid? But again, Benz coming up huge and making it world-class finish as well today.
And I kind of wanted to follow up on exactly that point, because outside of the goal that he scored, Real Madrid didn't really create a lot. And you're looking at their recent form, they haven't really scored that many goals. Is it just the problem that you laid out, which is that they don't have the attacking quality? Because, I mean, look on the pitch and it's still players wearing Real Madrid shirts. I expect them to play good attacking football, and yet it's been in very short order in recent times.
Yeah, and I think that's where, again, I'm giving a lot of credit to Zinedine Zidane because he deserves it. You look at the money that they brought in to bring in someone like Eden Hazard to take over potentially Cristiano Ronaldo's role there. And he hasn't been able to do it due to injuries. Now, do I think he is Cristiano Ronaldo quality? No. But then you look at someone like Benzema and his age, and we've seen him obviously with Real Madrid suffer a couple injuries, and no one else stepped up. The second goal scorer on the team for so long was Sergio Ramos, and he's been out injured for a few months. So that says a lot about this team. I mean, Casemiro is right up there with goal scorers as well for Real Madrid. That's your defensive midfielder. So again, I think Real Madrid really need to look at the pitcher. And I think in that June transfer window, they do need to bring in an attacking threat. I know Kylian Mbappe was getting thrown out for a while. Erling Haaland was getting thrown out for a while, but I do think they need to bring in a young talent in order to step up, because again, you can look at Hazard and he's got all the qualities to be a fantastic finisher, but that out and out number nine role, if Benzema goes down or Benzema's not scoring, who else is scoring for Real Madrid? And I think that goes back to your point, obviously, with Real Madrid struggling as of late. Again, it comes down to injuries a lot through that back line. They've had to change so many things tactically. We saw Vasquez playing on the wing role. We saw him playing on the fullback role as well. So you've seen players fill in where they need to fill in. And again, give credit where credit is due. They're in a semifinal. They came back in the second half, changed a few things tactically. In possession in that second half, both teams were brilliant. Now, out of possession, that's where Real Madrid need to look forward for this second leg, because Chelsea is such a threat with those three front runners. I mean, they're absolutely fantastic. And at the pace they do things as well, trying to get in behind, popping off the front, that third man midfield run again, it's going to be a really interesting second leg, and I can't wait.
I was surprised to see Marcelo out there, given his lack of pace. Carvajal coming off of that injury. injury. You thought maybe Pulisic could exploit some of that mismatch in pace, and he absolutely did. I want to talk about the one fairly consistent part of their lineup has been that midfield, and Zidane is using them differently this year. I don't know if players are on different career trajectories, but Casemiro is playing far more advanced than I'm used to seeing him. Granted, I mostly watch him through the Champions League matches. Modric and Kroos, not really giving them that much. These are players that really shine through set pieces, but at times, I think there was like a 35-minute stretch where I barely noticed one of the Ballon d'Or winners was on the pitch. Was that all N'Golo Kanté today? Because Jorginho and Kanté were amazing defensively.
Well, you need to start watching La Liga every Saturday and Sunday, my friend, and not just Champions League, because these three have been absolutely world-class in the midfield. And again, I think 100% the fatigue was setting in. They couldn't get close enough. You saw the tactics of Chelsea. I mean, Kanté and Jorginho just pressing on, not giving them a moment to breathe. And then you had wingers just tucking in, making it extremely difficult to play through. Obviously, it was 4v3 in that middle of the park, and they just couldn't find a way out. But again, that comes down to fatigue, because they have been absolutely clinical in league play. I mean, Toni Kroos on set pieces has absolutely been alarming. Modric has been, he looks like a 25-year-old out there, and he's even said it. Obviously, my age doesn't show with how I'm playing. So again, I think it comes back down to those midfield three. What rotations do you have? Because Valverde obviously out being injured, you don't have any time to rest these players. And again, the age of them, obviously that plays an effect. The amount of fixtures plays an effect, and then the travel as well. So again, I'm not saying anything bad about these midfield three, because last week on BN Sports, I was singing their praise, and I'm still going to sing their praise. I just honestly think it comes down to fatigue. Again, yes, Chelsea played on the weekend, but they have their bench. They don't really have any huge injuries right now, so they can rotate the squad a little bit, whereas Real Madrid, they don't have any rotation up right now, and especially in that midfield unit.
So you're watching from a La Liga Real Madrid prism, because you work for Sports and you're covering the league week in, week out. We're kind of watching it through a Chelsea prism. So I guess my question to you would be, given that you're maybe not studying Chelsea as intensely as we do, what impressed you about what they did to nullify Real Madrid and what they're trying to do, and just impressed you generally?
I think what impressed me with Chelsea is they came out on the front foot. They weren't scared to go forward. They weren't scared to play through team parts. And then you had players like Christian Pulisic living on the ball, playing in between that back line, that midfield unit, getting on the half turn. And it felt for me in that first 45, runs coming from everywhere. And I don't think Real Madrid knew how to deal with that. Obviously, with Marcelo starting, he hasn't started in ages, not really an out-and-out defender. Yes, he plays fullback usually, but again, playing in that wingback role. So I just felt like there was so much pressure all over the pitch. And then the two midfielders in Jorginho and Kanté in the middle, I felt like they really dictated the play. They were dropping in, getting the ball off Silva through that back line. And Real Madrid literally were, it was that too little too late. They were just getting close enough. But Chelsea's 1-2 ability, playing out of tight spaces, was absolutely fantastic today. But yeah, I just thought everywhere on the park, especially in that first 45 minutes, they came out, they had a tactical game plan, they stuck to it. Defensively, were all over the pitch. When they lost the ball, they got seven back. So even when Real Madrid broke early, they could not break them down. And then on that offense, I mean, with Werner, Mount, and Pulisic, they were absolutely electric.
The swagger and confidence of Benzema is terrifying. It's a confidence that I would never have within myself, but I understand why he has it. He's absolutely terrifying. But it's interesting, for a team that achieves so much, you get why 1-1 against them feels different than 1-1 against anyone else. You'd be thrilled with this kind of result in the semifinals. And when you just look at the La Liga table, considering your march already to the semifinals, you're like, well, that's a team trailing Atletico Madrid. We got this at Stamford Bridge. But without fans, and considering all the deep water that those vets have been in and survived in their careers, you start thinking about all the chances you missed in that first leg. And 1-1 doesn't feel as big a result as it probably should have, when you consider the first 25 minutes of that game, Kaylin.
Yeah, and I think you just answered what I was going to say there. Real Madrid know how to win in big competitions, especially the Champions League. I mean, they did it 4 years in a row under Zinedine Zidane. And again, Zidane knows the mental side of it as well. And I think that's one thing that he uses it to his advantage, is he was by far one of the best players in the world, but then is also, that's a huge transition to go from player to manager. And I think he's done it extremely well. And again, man managing his players and really instilling that confidence. I mean, Benzema obviously doesn't get the credit that he deserves because of off-field things that have happened, but then also being the shadow of Cristiano Ronaldo. Because if you look at his numbers when Cristiano Ronaldo was there, he was still scoring goals, but he was also making assists. And now he's transitioned that into making goals and still providing assists, but just at a higher rate of goals. So again, for players like them, I think you've nailed it. Chelsea will be very disappointed with this result because they could have easily gone up not only 2-0, probably 3-0 in this game. I think Courtois was absolutely brilliant, made huge saves. Mendy made a couple good saves as well, but I think Chelsea will be very disappointed in this because they know that they are going up against a team that knows how to win. Yes, they're playing at home, but like you alluded to, there's no fans in the stand. So does that home and away really play into it? We've seen it in league play as well. Teams that usually do well at home haven't been doing well at home because the fans add this electric feel that you can't explain as a player. And I know these players get paid multi-millions of dollars and they should show up every game, but the fans just add something to it, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. So again, Chelsea will be very disappointed in this because you saw Benz. I mean, he literally made something out of nothing, trapped it with his head, banged it home. But this is what big players do. They show up for big games. And yeah, again, I'm putting my money on Real Madrid because obviously I watch them every week. Don't shake your head. Your money's on Chelsea.
No, I kind of fall in line that I think this might be a bridge too far for such a young Chelsea side. I'm very happy that they started this game on the front foot and proved that they can take it to a Real Madrid attack. We have a very important second leg here. I'm getting far more than I anticipated out of this season, so I'm very happy. I'm of the school of thought that clubs like Chelsea, when you're so young, you probably have to suffer a little bit. And this is a club in Real Madrid that have been to the mountaintop several times over. So I'm very nervous headed into the second leg, but really amped that the American stayed healthy and scored a goal. And 0-0 gets you in there. So let's hope for a cagey affair that everybody expected in this first leg and that second leg. And Chelsea find themselves improbably in the Champions League final. Kaelin Kyle, BN Sports, Inter Miami's television coverage. Thank you so much for blessing our podcast with your presence. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Anytime.
Hi, this is Ashley Cole. You're listening to Chelsea Mic'd Up.
Mike, Kaelin, and I have had our say on this Champions League result, a 1-1 against Real Madrid. Now let's get the goal scorer. The Americans' thoughts. Here's Christian Pulisic with CBS Sports' Guillaume Balague.
Are you happy?
Yeah, it's obviously a solid result playing away against a strong Madrid team. I think it could have been even better, but we'll take it and we're going to be ready for the second leg.
Hold on, you just scored in the semifinals of the Champions League against Real Madrid.
Yeah, obviously it's a proud moment, but yeah, the job's nowhere near done, so we still have a lot to do.
What do you remember of the goal? You could see the long ball coming to you. I suppose it's something you prepare in training. Obviously, really just saw you run. The control was good. I'm not going to tell the whole story. You better say it.
Yeah, I thought the control could have been even better, but then I kind of turned and noticed I was pretty much one-on-one and with the keeper. And yeah, I took my time with it and found the right time to shoot, and it was a nice goal.
Weren't you expecting one of the centre-backs to come closer? It was a strange thing, no? The
that's almost how out. I felt, yeah, when I turned. I didn't expect to be so free in on goal, so, yeah, I took it well, though.
Cool finish, though. After that, it did feel like, because you had a very good, strong start of the game, after that, what happened? Did you feel that the team was confident with 1-0?
Yeah, I think they, I mean, they are a tough team to play against. They moved the ball well. And they didn't make it easy for us. They made us work in the first half for sure. But I think all in all, I think we played a good game. We didn't concede too many chances at all. Unfortunately, they got the goal. But I think there's some stuff we can look at and improve. But all in all, it was a strong performance.
In fact, first half, you could have gone 2-3-0 up before the goal of Benzema, which almost came out of the blue. But you must have been disappointed as a team that you conceded in a set piece.
Yes, we were disappointed, obviously, to be a bit more clinical in front of the goal, and we could have tried to put the game away a bit earlier, but yeah, that happens, and yeah, we couldn't do it today. But
you're a young bunch of people, so you're you can put it inexperienced, but in any case, at this full of energy, full of pace. So you go home thinking, it could have been better, or it's like 1-1 in Madrid.
It's a good result. We're going to take it. We're going to be prepared for next week. We're going to rest up. We obviously have a game on the weekend, but we're going to get ready. So we're not disappointed at all. We're a confident bunch of guys, and we're going to go in with a positive mentality into the second game.
Finally, did you feel the second half, it was like a truce, or perhaps both teams were tired, but was less energetic than the first one?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough game. I mean, two really good teams at, you know, keeping the ball, and they had strings of possession, and so did we. And yeah, there weren't any crazy chances. Both teams were solid defensively, so yeah, it wasn't an easy half for either team. But yeah, we kept the result, and we're looking good. So
time to rest now. A salad, eat. What do you do now? Just go into the bus and fall asleep, or what?
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna travel back home for a bit, and yeah, prepare. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of resting to do and regeneration to get ready for this weekend's game, and then we'll be ready for next week.
And now the manager, Thomas Tuchel, speaking to Chelsea TV.
Thomas, first of all, how pleased were you with that performance here tonight?
First half, I was very happy with the start and with the performance. We should have won the first half. We lacked composure and precision in the box, in the opponent's box. So many chances, so many half chances, so many good ball recoveries and counterattacks. But unfortunately, the result was not on our side. It was 1-1 suddenly from out of nothing. So you have to cope with it, because it increased the self-confidence from Real, and you have to fight against it. Second half was a tactical game. The speed intensity dropped in second half. You could feel that we had only two games in between two intense away matches. So we suffered from that. And I think that if we had one more day, 3 days in between, could have helped us to maybe hurt them more physically and with a higher rhythm that we normally play.
You mentioned the fast start. Was that always part of the plan today?
It's more or less always the plan. We didn't talk about it, but it's normal that we try to play full on, and we found a very, I felt us very confident, very strong, very self-confident, and with a lot of quality. So like you say, it was very, very good in the beginning. Big chances, big half chances. Should have maybe decided the game in first half. But cannot regret too long. It's like this. Second half, like I said, was just a tactical game, but we did not allow any chances for them, so we rely on that and keep on going.
There's some real quality in the midfield today, especially from a certain N'Golo Kanté. Quite the performance.
Yeah, top performance. Unfortunately, he had some, also like lacked a little bit the last pass, could have been even decisive in front of the goal. He was driving in the back of the midfield from Real. Very, very strong performance. It's a pity that we don't have Kova, because Kova is more or less the same type of player, driving with the ball, and could have been very important. You see that Jorginho is very, very tired and a bit overloaded, and you feel this in the decision making. You feel it in some easy ball losses, and there is no. I blame nobody, because I felt that from the mental point of view, physical point of view, coming from West Ham, crucial game, away game, second day after the match, you have travel and everything. You arrive here, the next pressure is on. So I don't blame nobody, but it was like this. We could have used one more day to be a bit more clinical.
Finally then, how important is that away goal going to be, do you think, going into the second leg next
week? Well, it's very good to have a goal, and it's very, very good to have a draw, and from there we go. So when the game starts and the whistle goes next Wednesday, it's first of all, we are through. We don't have to chase nothing, but I honestly hope that we can forget the result and we just go for the next performance. And we have now twice, 3 days in between, which helps us a lot, and we need to use it. And Fulham is waiting, and then we prepare the next match.
All right, Chris Whittingham, really enjoyed getting that Real Madrid perspective from Caitlin Kyle. Let's talk a little bit more about what to expect in leg two, because leg one, teams felt each other out in that second half. It was kind of reverse. You could maybe see the first 45 minutes being what the last 45 minutes were there. What can we expect headed into leg two? I think more of what we saw in that second half from how Zinedine Zidane chooses to align, particularly that back line and that midfield, that might shift a little bit backwards here as Real Madrid might try to take Chelsea out into those noted deep waters a little bit. Maybe challenge them a little bit, see if they make a mistake with a high press, but they're not going to overextend that midfield and that back line of the defense the way they did in this first leg, I don't think. They'd be foolish to.
Yeah, well, I will say, I do think that Real Madrid, like, I think Zinedine Zidane unleashes his teams kind of in big situations on occasion. So I don't think he's going to go away to Stamford Bridge and be cagey. So I kind of wonder if you have to be ready for an early onslaught where it's like Real Madrid understands when it's winning time, when it's summon a big performance time. And so I would imagine that Chelsea's kind of quality of possession might not look the same because Real Madrid are going to be onto them just that little bit faster. There's that recognition. All right, this is an important one. Now, the one thing that might stop that from happening, something you mentioned earlier, which is they're in the middle of a La Liga title race. They've got massive games to play, just as Chelsea do throughout the run into the season. So they take on Osasuna this weekend. You'd think, all right, you know, home against Osasuna, that's easy 3 points. It hasn't been for Real Madrid in La Liga. And it's a required 3 points because Barcelona, Atletico Madrid are obviously competing with them for that title race. So I would imagine that Zinedine Zidane lets this team go for the first 15 minutes, tries to get that away goal and grow into the game a little bit. But yeah, I think the second leg might be a bit more about surviving. And if Chelsea can still figure out a way to dictate the game as they did in this first leg, I think they're in really good shape.
Now, Real Madrid don't have to worry about dropping out of Champions League positioning, but that whole top four battle, because Sevilla have actually found them their way into the La Liga title chase out of nowhere. It's hotly contested, and Real Madrid do like to collect their trophies. I do think they'll prioritize the Champions League, being that they have some margin for error because the gulf between fourth and fifth in La Liga is like 20 points. Let's take a look at Chelsea with Fulham on deck. I mentioned it in the intro, not an opponent that you want to face, an opponent that needs to get points as their chances of staying in the Premier League are kind of slipping away. They are desperate for points. We saw with West Brom what kind of challenge that might present to Chelsea. We expect a rotational squad here, don't we?
Yeah, I would imagine that Hakim Ziyech can definitely start this match. Reece James for sure. Maybe Marcus Alonso gets to go. Kurt Zouma. I mean, the thing is that, like, I would say Kepa, but I mean, I think that's probably a cup only thing. I think in the Premier League and the Champions League, Edouard Mendy is trusted in goal. So I'd say probably three or four changes. But I also don't think that you can really rotate that much because, as you said, Fulham is an opponent that, look, their results aren't good, but the quality of their performance is like you're not, you know, getting a Sheffield United kind of performance where it's like, well, if we break down this defensive team, Fulham can play. Fulham will try and beat Chelsea, and they have to win because they're 7 points off of Brighton in terms of staying up. So they have to basically win probably four out of the last five games, probably 13 points from 15, 12 points from 15 to even have a chance, and even that might not be enough. So Fulham are going to come out to win, and so Chelsea have to be ready. And so you can't really treat it as though it's a game in between the Champions League semifinal. It's you're playing for next year's Champions League, and you better come out and put in a good performance.
Rudiger looked to be hurting after that knock around minute 89, was down there for a couple minutes. I think some of that is gamesmanship, but maybe an opportunity for Zouma here. Maybe an opportunity because Thiago Silva's been hurt a little bit recently. An opportunity for rest there some. Tammy Abraham, we saw him get a little bit of run against West Ham. Missed an opportunity there. You feel for the guy because you kind of feel like the weight of having to be efficient with every opportunity now is at his feet. Let's talk about that West Ham game because it was a big result. It was a boring game, and it kind of felt like when Timo Werner scored that goal, that was all she wrote. Now, the Premier League has since rescinded the red card that West Ham got. It was a bit harsh. I think anyone could agree with that, but I also don't think it actually played into the result. I don't think West Ham were offering much in this game. Oh, wait, guess who's guilty of taking away from Chelsea FC? That's right. The guy that always says don't do that. But there's a lot of injuries for this West Ham team, and they've struggled against the big clubs for a reason. They just don't have the depth.
Yeah, they don't have the depth, and also I don't think they have enough endeavor. Look, I mean, when Jesse Lingard is playing as well as he's playing right now, like, you have to at least give it a go, right? Like, if I were a West Ham fan, I'd be a little disappointed at the kind of cautious approach against Chelsea. Look, I think Chelsea by the end were probably hanging on, and I think they dominated the first half much more than they did the second. But I think West Ham just haven't really gone for it. And it's weird because, like, when are you going to get another chance to play in the Champions League if you're West? Like, this is the season that they're going to have. And so they should have really come out all guns blazing, but they didn't. And Chelsea also do a great job of stopping teams from doing that. Again, we have to continue to say that, right? West Ham didn't offer much. Well, it's because Chelsea didn't let them offer much. They don't let anyone other than West Bromwich Albion offer much. And so I just think that it was a professional performance. Timo Werner scores one. He should have scored a second. And look, I mean, those kinds of high-quality chances are piling up for him, and hopefully it doesn't enter his psyche too much. But still, I think the quality, again, of Chelsea's performance here defensively to shut another team down is probably the reason why they're going to make top four, and probably the reason why I think they can hang on in the second leg of this Champions League semifinal.
I think you and I agree that West Ham really isn't the threat to the top four so much as teams like Liverpool, Tottenham, and Everton are, quite frankly. And it was a massive result, not just because it was against the team that was directly behind them. Chelsea only had the tiebreaker on them on goal differential. But with Liverpool dropping points, and I owe Steve Bruce a fruit basket this holiday season because Newcastle have helped Chelsea out tremendously here. With Liverpool dropping 2 points there, getting the draw against Newcastle, Chelsea, and probably so, have found some breathing room here. They can actually afford to lose another game in the Premier League, and we thought that our opportunity was gone entering this West Ham match. Now they are 3 points clear in West Ham and might as well be 4 full points because they got the goal differential that West Ham is not making up 10. Liverpool on 54, they can't make that up in a given weekend. And with the congestion coming up for Chelsea, this is massive for their top four hopes.
Well, and as much as you're saying, there is a margin. The thing is that Chelsea's running is tough, right? Man City away, they might have locked up the Premier League title by then, but it's still Man City away. Arsenal at home, Leicester at home. Like, I don't think that means you can, drop points to Fulham. Yeah, it puts you in a really good position. By the way, Leicester are just about hanging on for this. They're 7 points clear. West Ham now with 5 games to play. I know that their last 3 games are really tough, but if they can lock in two more wins, they're there. So that's another one where, at least, like, in terms of you're looking for margin for error, being able to chase down Leicester would certainly be a huge aspect of that. But yeah. The win against West Ham is massive. It was a 6-pointer. If you lose that, then you're chasing. Then you're trying to make up points against Man City and Arsenal and Leicester, whereas now you're trying to preserve a lead against those clubs. And so, and by the way, they're not done dropping points because no one in that area of the Premier League has shown they can consistently put together results. Chelsea right now are the team that are most capable of consistently putting together results. So, again, it's why I'd favor them in that position.
Chelsea women had a result against Bayern Munich. Not the result we were looking for. Chelsea getting an away goal. A bit more optimism surrounding that away goal than Chelsea men, which is kind of weird considering that they lost 2-1 to Bayern Munich. Impressive from Bayern Munich. We thought maybe the quality of their competition in their domestic league was not necessarily up to snuff. Bayern Munich really impressed me. It's not often someone takes all 3 points against Chelsea. 2-1. Now the away goal is big there because Chelsea are a different team at home, and Bayern Munich have to prove it. But I came away impressed with Bayern Munich, and they absolutely now are in the catbird seat to advance, and the dreams of the greatest season of all time possibly slipping away here, Chris?
No, I mean, look, you lose by 2-1 away from home in the Champions League. That's decent, right? You get an away goal, but now it comes time to turn in a performance, right? Like, now Chelsea have to come back home and come to King's Meadow and show the team that we know that they are capable of being. I'm kind of encouraged by some of the underlying statistics in the game against Bayern, where they kept more than 60% of the ball, where they had a lot of shots, not enough of them on target, only the one on target actually that ended up being the goal. So I would definitely say that needs to improve. But on the overall, we know that Chelsea are well capable of winning at home, and I mean, unless you're giving away a bunch of away goals, then winning is kind of all you need to do. So I think they're still in a really good position. But either way, 7:30 Sunday morning, I'm glued to the television to watch that.
Yeah, massive clash in the Women's Champions League as Chelsea continue an outside shot at the greatest season ever, ever, ever. Obviously a massive week for us here on Chelsea Mic'd Up. We appreciate the feedback and understanding that we got from our audience with the last episode. Obviously a highly emotional episode with everything that hung over the club and the Super League. So we thank you for your support and thank you for moving on with the football. And Chelsea made it easy this season because that's a top billing story anytime Chelsea play Real Madrid. So thank you for the support. We appreciate all the new listeners that came over from the Levitard show. Chris and I do work there. Good work, I would like to say. Good work that has just been handsomely rewarded. And we don't make it through that without Chris Whittingham's hard work on that show, as he works hard on this show as well, and your support. So thank you to all the shared listeners, because they are many. Next week, man, it could go either way for me. I mean, either way, I'm drinking something big and brown. So tune in. It'll be on the rocks and it'll be just straight. No mixer, no softener. You're going to get a happy mic or a sad mic. Either way, you might get a drunk mic here on Chelsea Mic'd Up next week. Till we speak again, up the Chels.